The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love the air.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, December 11th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Hey, speaking of somewhere in the world, did something happen in South America? Oh yes, that's right. The first country ever to legalize marijuana, Uruguay, passed marijuana legalization last night. We've got plenty to say about that. We've got it in the headline news coming up right after this first break. And also, that will be the subject of our Behind the Headlines segment. We'll give you a look at the policies of legalized marijuana in Uruguay and what the age limits are, what the possession limits are, cultivation limits, and all of that. We'll give that to you in Behind the Headlines. Also on today's show, we've got our daily toker tunes for Irie Wednesday. Gordon Green's calling in from Spain, and he's got us a new track to check out for our reggae loving friends out there. And on today's show, we get a chance to give you the Reformer's Reader, our segment where we take a look at the new authors and books coming out about marijuana policy. A good friend of the show, John Walker from Fire Dog Lake, you know him from the JustSayNow.com blog. He's got a new book out called After Legalization, The Future of Marijuana Policy, and we will talk to him about that at half past, so check that out. And then at the end of the show, we'll have time for a radical rant. I'm going to talk about, once again, concussions and the NFL and how it is time for the NFL to embrace the use of marijuana by its players, not just for pain management, but also brain protection. And you'll never guess who agrees with me now. ESPN. We'll tell you all about that at the end of the show. We are live here from Miami, Florida for the second to last day. We'll be here tomorrow as well. We're coming back to Portland, Oregon on Friday with our regularly scheduled shows. Also, check out 420radio.org. We're doing some slight redesign to make it a little more mobile friendly. So if things are jumping around a little bit, just be patient. We'll have it all fixed by the end of this weekend. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got more coming up here on the Russ Belleville Show. Thanks for supporting us. Become a VIP member today, and your monthly contributions will help us stay on the air. We'll be right back with the 420 Radio News after these messages. Stick around.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and mentions most to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition. I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, December 11th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Uruguay, first country to legalize marijuana. Following a 50-46 vote earlier this year by the Uruguayan House, last night the Uruguayan Senate voted 16-13 along party lines to approve the legalization of cultivation, sale, distribution, possession, and use of marijuana by adults, making tiny Uruguay the first country to fully legalize marijuana. The legalization proposal was put forth by President Jose Mujica, who is expected to sign the bill. The president explained that the marijuana market already exists, but the ones who profit from it are criminals. Quote, "We've given this market as a gift to the drug traffickers," said Mujica to Argentine news media. "That is more destructive socially than the drug itself because it rots the whole of society." End quote. Front porch toking approved in Denver. The Denver City Council had its third and final vote on a city ordinance regulating marijuana consumption and approved the toking of marijuana on private property, even if it can be seen by the public. The 10-3 vote is final and means that adults 21 and older can smoke pot on their front porch, backyard, or any private property where the owner allows, regardless if the public can see or smell it. This third vote follows a roller coaster of political fighting over what constitutes public use of marijuana, which is still illegal in Colorado. In an initial 7-5 vote with an abstention, the council had approved language that banned any toking that could be seen or smelled by the public. Consumers protested that that kind of ban would prevent people from enjoying their constitutional right to toke on their own front porch if people on the sidewalk could see it. Progress is possible in pot banking dilemma, from the Seattle Times. It's been 3 months since the Federal Department of Justice announced it would let voter-approved legal pot laws in those two pioneering states proceed. And once that signal was given, all key parties acknowledged the next big challenge, getting banking services to pot merchants so they won't have to conduct all their business in cash. On Thursday, the Federal Bank Secrecy Act Advisory Group will hold its first meeting since the DOJ's watershed announcement in late August. Marijuana will be on the agenda, said Jennifer Shasky Calvary, director of the Federal Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. The banking industry prefers that Congress change the Controlled Substances Act, which has classified marijuana as a dangerous drug along with heroin. But congressional action is unlikely for a while and not a priority, as fewer than half the states even allow medical marijuana. Absent a new federal law, the hope is that the watchdog group comes up with guidelines that give bankers solid assurance they won't be prosecuted for providing services to pot merchants. Because it's now a crime for U.S. banks to engage in transactions with pot businesses, the DOJ will first need to announce a policy for the federal anti-money laundering law, similar to its announcement allowing Colorado and Washington to implement their legal pot laws. New poll, majority of Hoosiers back pot regulation and taxation, from HighTimes.com. Despite inhabiting a state with some of the harshest drug laws in the Midwest, a new poll reports that a majority, 52%, of Indiana residents support legalizing and regulating marijuana like alcohol and tobacco. And an overwhelming number of Hoosiers, 78%, approve taxing weed like booze and cigarettes. 45% of those polled were against the concept of regulation, but a scant 19% opposed cannabis taxation. The study was administered by the Bowen Center for Public Affairs at Ball State University in conjunction with Indianapolis television station WISH-TV. The study surveyed 600 Indiana residents in the month of October. Democrats were more likely to support regulating and taxing cannabis at 64%, while only 49% of Republicans were in favor. New York lawmakers propose legalizing marijuana, making it into a cash cow, from CBS Local New York. There was a move Tuesday to legalize and tax marijuana use in New York. State lawmakers want to put pot smoking on par with drinking alcohol and let taxpayers profit. Assembly Health Committee Chairman Richard Gottfried signed onto a bill by State Senator Liz Krueger that would make New York the most populous state in the country to regulate and tax marijuana for general use. Gottfried said state lawmakers want to treat pot smoking just like having a drink, set an age limit, regulate it, and tax it. City Comptroller John Liu, who has studied the issue, said the economic impact from a pot tax is, well, mind-bending. Liu estimates that a pot tax would generate $431 million in New York City alone. The city would also save $31 million from reduced law enforcement and court costs. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, December 11th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at legalization in the country of Uruguay and some of the limits that are placed within those regulations. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. Let them bring in the beat. Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs. Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs. Home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs. Get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs. We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So, all right.
There's nothing funny about nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And, of course, the only headline, pretty much, that showed up on my Google News marijuana search today was about Uruguay legalizing marijuana, becoming the first country to make that move. Now, we all know that there's coffee shops in the Netherlands, but they merely tolerate the sale of marijuana, and cultivation and trafficking is still illegal. Spain has collectives, but again, that's just for personal use. You can't go to a store and buy any. Uruguay is the first country now that has an actual legalized marijuana market. And some of the details about this are quite interesting. First of all, the age limit. The age limit for people to use marijuana in Uruguay will be 18 years old. Not the 21 years old that we've got in Washington and Colorado. Also, the cost is going to be so much lower than what we get in the United States, with the government planning on selling marijuana to its adult citizens at $1 per gram. That's right, $1 per gram from licensed pharmacies. And the maximum purchase you will be allowed in Uruguay is 40 grams per month. That's about 1.4 ounces. But don't go booking your flights to Montevideo just yet. Only the adults who are residents of Uruguay get to participate in purchases from the government pharmacies. Possession, I believe, will still be legal. Also, personal cultivation will be allowed in Uruguay. Adults 18 and older are going to be allowed to grow up to 6 cannabis plants in their homes per year, and possess up to 480 grams, that's almost 17 ounces, at their residence. And like Spain, they're allowed to form collectives where anywhere between 15 and 45 Uruguayan adults can collectively cultivate up to 99 plants per year. This is remarkable. And of course, Kevin Sabet was quick to jump all over this, saying, yes, Uruguay legalized marijuana, but no, the people aren't happy about it, and the public health people aren't happy about it. It will be such a joy in the years to come to see nothing coming to fruition that these prohibitionists predicted would happen because of legalization. It will be such a joy to watch them have to eat their words as the success of Uruguay's experiment proves that marijuana legalization is a valid policy option. But this is not surprising if you follow some of the politics of South America, and in particularly Uruguay. As I mentioned before, most of South America is decriminalized, and they don't treat it as a medical issue with medical marijuana. They treat it as a health problem. They consider people that are using drugs to have a health issue, and they don't believe that's a criminal act. So that's already been established in most of the South American mindset. But Uruguay is kind of a special case in that it is one of the most liberal countries in South America. A large part of South America, of course, is very, very religious and Catholic. But here's why. Here's some of the items that have, or some of the issues in the past that Uruguay has long been a pioneer on. Just last year, Uruguay legalized same-sex marriage, and it legalized abortion. Now, I know that's something we've had in the United States for a few decades now, but again, we're talking about some highly Catholic countries. So to legalize abortion, that's pretty amazing. Also, going all the way back to the 20th century, Uruguay was one of the first nations to grant divorce rights to women. They did that in 1912. They instituted the 8-hour workday in 1915, and they gave women the right to vote as part of their constitution in 1917, years before the United States allowed women to vote on the national level. Prostitution in Uruguay has never been illegal, and it has been legally regulated since 2002. And in 2009, Uruguay granted adoption rights for same-sex couples and the legal right to choose one's own gender identity. And since 1917, there's been an official separation of church and state in Uruguay. So thank you, Uruguay, for blazing the trail internationally here for marijuana legalization. It's the headline nobody can ignore. The emperor wears no clothes. The sky will not fall, and legalization will proceed internationally now. And speaking of legalization, that magical sound means it's time for us to enjoy the fruits of our activism. Hope you got a little bit of herb to enjoy. I'm down here in Miami enjoying the warm weather.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Hey, Russ. Glad to be back on another Irie Wednesday. Hope you're having a good time in Miami, man. Watch out for the police down there, man. I was living there in 2003 during the free trade protests, and you got to check out this video on YouTube called The Miami Model. If you do the search and you see a bunch of bikinis and TNA and stuff like that, it's a different Miami model. But it'll give you a taste of what the Miami cops are like. So you're not having those problems. I've got a great song today, man, from a guy named Clinton Fearon. And he was the bass player for the legendary reggae band, the Gladiators, for more than 20 years. He's doing his own thing now. And guy's old, but he's got a brand new acoustic album out. It's called Heart and Soul. And this is a great number I found from that. This is called I'm Not Crying. And it's Clinton Fearon. You can check him out on SoundCloud. You're hearing it right now on the Russ Belville Show.
I'm not crying. again. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'll soon be on my feet again. I've been accused, abused, and locked away. I'm feeling those pains even until this day. This day. But even so, I won't go astray. Astray. Cause I'll be sitting at my master's side. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'll soon be on my feet again. Blessed Savior, hold my hands, show I the way and let I stand now. Lucifer is strong, but he won't catch me, he won't catch me, cause I'll be sitting at my master's side. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'll soon be on my feet again. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'll soon be on my feet again. Again. I'm not crying, crying. I'm not crying, crying. I'm not crying. I'll soon be on my feet again.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
The Russ Belville Show.
I'm not very good at singing songs, but here's a try.
According to lifelong pot smoker and rocket scientist Carl Sagan, making apple pies from scratch is extremely difficult.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Radical Russ and the Rolla J Studios crew will be right back after these messages.
A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way.
The cosmos is full beyond measure.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformers Reader.
Welcome back, everyone. And for today's Reformers Reader, we have a very apropos guest. It's John Walker from the Fire Dog Lake blog, and specifically the Just Say Now blog on Fire Dog Lake. John, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
We're having you here today. You got in touch with us here at 420 Radio for the promotion of your new book that's entitled After Legalization, Understanding the Future of Marijuana Policy. And of course, the big news today with Uruguay becoming the first country to legalize not only marijuana possession and cultivation, but the marketing, trafficking, and sales of marijuana. How do you think this bodes for the future of marijuana policy and specifically sales of your book?
Well, hopefully it will help sales of my book. For the future of marijuana policy, you know, it's some of the biggest news in years. You know, I suspect Uruguay will very much be sort of the laboratory of Latin America that Colorado and Washington State are going to be for the United States.
And have you gotten a chance to look at what policies they're suggesting for the market there in Uruguay, and how do you think these compare with what is being proposed in Colorado and Washington?
Yeah, see, this is, you know, sort of a lot of what my book's focused on is Uruguay is basically adopted for the tightest legalized marijuana you could probably imagine. You know, there's a limit on how much you can buy. You know, you can only buy it through pharmacies. You know, they won't sell to tourists. There's an age restriction. There's no advertising. So it's about, you know, the most controlled form of legalized marijuana you could have. It's probably even more tightly regulated, you'd say, than Colorado is at this point.
Wow. Now, I understand as part of their regulations, they're going to allow the collective cultivation as well, people gathering together in groups and cultivating a large number of plants as a club, much like what we see going on in Spain. How much of the international attempts at decriminalization do you think played into the development of these Uruguayan policies?
Yeah, you know, they obviously developed that straight from Spain, is where they got that idea from. I think the restriction on, you know, tourists being able to buy marijuana was them, you know, directly looking at Amsterdam, you know, in the Netherlands, to try to, you know, avoid some of the things that they did not want, because this is not about promoting marijuana in Uruguay. You know, if you listen to the statements from the president, this is about purely removing it from the hands of criminals. So they're trying to have it be legal, but as restricted as they can.
Let's look at marijuana policy in the United States. And again, your book, After Legalization, The Future of Marijuana Policy, probably delves a lot into this. But we've got two different experiments going on in Washington and Colorado, where Washington's is very highly taxed and allows no home grow. Colorado's is kind of highly taxed, but does allow home grow. What do you point out in those differences as you get through that in your book, as far as what would be the best marijuana policy, or we just have to wait and see?
Yeah, so the book is really focused on what the future marijuana policy is very likely going to look at, you know, going back to a lot of the models, you know, especially right after the end of alcohol prohibition. You have almost the same issues we're seeing in Colorado and Washington State appear again. So, you know, I suspect we're going to see marijuana face a very high tax. You know, anytime you've got sort of a sin item, that very few people use relative to the population, it almost always seems to be a place where they jack the taxes up on it. You know, perfect example is the cigarette tax. That's one of the go-to funding mechanisms, both at the state and federal level lately. You know, it's one of the few things Republicans will actually vote for. And, you know, I think a big thing, I don't know, you saw Grover Norquist say that he considered a tax on marijuana, not a new tax. You know, that almost sort of opens the door to it being a big revenue raiser in the coming years.
Right, and for folks that may not know the politics of that, Grover Norquist is with the Americans, what is it, Americans for Tax Reform, and he has the legislators sign this pledge to never support raising taxes, and then Grover Norquist goes and says, ah, but pot taxes aren't being raised, they're new. That's quite a trick. Do you think that'll bring Republicans on board?
I don't know if it'll bring them on board for actually legalizing it yet, but, you know, as we saw in Washington State, there was, Colorado, you know, there was more support for the tax bill ballot measure than there was for the legalization measure. And so I think you'll have that kind of dynamic. You know, after it's legalized, Republicans are like, well, if you're going to legalize it, you know, let's get the tax revenue and maybe, you know, drop property taxes or income taxes instead of replace it with marijuana taxes.
That's interesting. I saw a poll that came out of Indiana today that basically said the same thing. Republicans and Democrats were split on whether they supported legalization, with Democrats more in favor. But when it came to the asking about whether marijuana should be taxed, Republicans and Democrats were equally in support of that. So I think that lends some support to what you're saying there. We're speaking with John Walker from the Fire Dog Lake blog, and specifically Just Say Now. And if people want to go to Just Say Now, it's just justsaynow.org or .com?
.com.
So justsaynow.com. So check that out if you will. And we're promoting this book, After Legalization. And like many projects that are going on these days, people are leveraging the power of the internet to self-fund these sort of things. You've got a Kickstarter campaign going for the book. Can you tell people about that and how they can contribute?
So we have a Kickstarter for the thing. If you go to Kickstarter, you can look for After Legalization or my name, John Walker, and find it. Basically, I finished writing the book, and I've been working with an editor on it, but we still have a bunch of sort of fine-tuned stuff to finish up. You know, need to funnel, like, copy editing and fact-checking and design and formatting, what have you. So we're raising money for that goal of $5,000. And hopefully, because, you know, the writing aspect's all done, by the end of the year, just in time for the first retail shops opening in Colorado, the book will be out where people can buy. But if you go to the Kickstarter, you can basically assure yourself a copy as soon as the book's published. We'll be the first ones to get it.
All right. Well, looking forward to that. Now, continuing our talk on the future of marijuana policy here after legalization, one of the aspects of this that has proven difficult as medical marijuana has come up in Colorado and California and other states is the reluctancy of the banking industry to provide services, credit cards or merchant services, to these pot businesses for fear of money laundering. Can you tell us, do you have any ideas what's changing as far as policy discussions on that angle, the banking angle for marijuana businesses?
Yeah, so apparently there's some discussion right now, or the administration at least claims that there's some discussion about trying to find a solution to this problem. You know, they've made bold promises about, you know, not being bad guys on marijuana reform in the past and haven't really lived up to it, but supposedly they're working on trying to find a solution for this. You know, what the administration's doing just kind of remains a black box on a lot of marijuana policy issues, but hopefully something will come around. You know, the support for marijuana continues to just grow so quickly that, you know, standing in the way of both an industry and voters and, you know, the will of the population, I don't think will be viable for much longer.
What are some of the aspects you found about implementing marijuana policy after legalization that have taken place so far in Washington and Colorado that maybe we as reformers didn't think of going into legalization? Has there been any surprises or difficulties that kind of caught you off guard?
I think one thing that is, there's like one issue, like, for example, the local option, which is a big thing in alcohol. Washington State didn't have any explicit local option rules in their initiative, while Colorado did. And so there's been some, you know, fighting underway about certain towns in Washington who don't want to allow shots, but sort of have to license them, and they're threatening not to. You know, that's probably one area that probably didn't have a lot of thought put into it, or not didn't have a lot of thought put into it, but, you know, one of those nitty-gritty details. That's a big one. Let's see what else is there. You know, the issue of home growing, and especially the interference with the medical marijuana community. Especially in Washington State, you know, they said in the law, you know, there will be no impact on medical marijuana from this law. But when you wait and create an entire system paralleling another entire system, you know, you can't stop them from creating some kind of conflict and some need to, you know, harmonize them. And so that was one that I think probably more thought needed to be put into going into it.
How about the future of policy with respect to the public use of marijuana? We saw up in Seattle under the Space Needle, they got a permit for a public pot smoking party, but it had to be behind a moat of fences and deep inside of a tent. And Denver City Council just voted recently to allow people, oh my gosh, to smoke pot on their own front porches. Where do you see that heading in the future, especially with respect to the anti-smoking codes that already exist for tobacco?
Yeah, so this is a thing I find very fascinating, because there is no sort of one definition of what it means to be public. So, you know, if you look at the public alcohol laws, which are probably like a good comparison, you know, depending on location and state, they vary greatly. You know, is public the side of your sidewalk? Is it your front porch? Is it your backyard? You know, and all these issues tend to be decided more at a local level than a state level, but this will be sort of a constant issue. You know, there'll probably be fighting about, you know, for 50 years to come. But I think, you know, we're probably going to end up with a situation where all the restrictions on smoking cigarettes and all the restrictions on public drinking basically are overlapped into one overall restriction on marijuana. So I wouldn't be surprised if, in general, if you're not allowed to smoke a cigarette somewhere or you're not allowed to have a open beer there, you're probably not going to be allowed to smoke marijuana there. You know, if you're allowed to do one of those things in those places, then you'll probably be allowed to smoke marijuana.
Boy, that's the way I would like to see it turn out, John. You know, equal rights for tokers, drinkers, and smokers. That would be egalitarian.
Now, mind you, the number of places you can smoke cigarettes these days in a lot of the country, or drink, you know, a beer where people can see you, has shrunk dramatically, especially for public smoking laws.
Yeah, absolutely true. One last question before we let you go. John Walker with the JustSayNow.com blog at Fire Dog Lake. He's the author of the new book that we've got a great Kickstarter campaign for. It's After Legalization, Understanding the Future of Marijuana Policy. Just look up John Walker or After Legalization. But a big issue in the future of legalization policy for a lot of tokers out there is DUI standards and DUI laws. We saw that forced into the law in Washington and added after the fact in Colorado. Do you see what do you see for the future of DUI policy with respect to marijuana?
You know, hopefully this will be one instance where, as it becomes more legalized, we'll get better science. You know, the federal government's done such a bad job of restricting research into, you know, developing perhaps good metrics, because I think there will always be a legal desire to have some official metric. And I think there's been a lot of latching onto this 5 nanograms, even though that's not a good metric, because it's the only sort of metric out there. But I think as we have more research and more time, they'll probably coalesce around some new standard. I don't know what that will be in the future, but I think you will have some limit. That's almost guaranteed. You know, that's just sort of the tradition that's been established. I don't think it will be the one we currently have, though, because that one's just not really based in proper science.
That's absolutely correct. Well, thank you, John, so much from Fire Dog Lake for joining us today on Reformers Reader, and I encourage everyone to check out the book After Legalization. Go fund that Kickstarter page now. Let's get some more independent marijuana journalism out in front of the people. John, thanks again for joining us here on the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's simply business, you know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers.
because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Fun, fun.
Oh, hello, I'm Big Daddy, and I want you to join me at the Funky Roller Rink. We're partying hard over here, baby, so stop on by, check out the funky grooves, and shake your booty too.
Don't get in a doozy, brother, don't get in a doozy, don't get some you can't move about, whenever you get ready.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
You know, I've been playing rock and roll for a lot of years, and I've done it all. Now I do it without drugs. Hey, don't get me wrong, I still party with the best of them, but now I do it clean. You know, I'm on top of everything I do.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. And for today's Radical Rant, I want to talk a bit about football, the National Football League in particular, and an article that Herb Thrasher forwarded to me that came out from ESPN, the magazine, is entitled Smokescreen. The subtitle is it time for the NFL to embrace marijuana? Now, as you know, players in the NFL, if they're caught in their drug tests for marijuana, they get suspended. Lavon Brazil being one of them. Von Miller, another one of them. A whole bunch of players we could name who've been suspended this year for failing the marijuana test. But the ESPN piece points out that pain maintenance is a singular constant in the NFL. Players are always dealing with pain. And whether they use cortisone or OxyContin or other painkillers or even just drink, they've always found a way to get back on the field, get back on the field for practice, get back on the field for the game, always having to maintain sprains and bruises and injuries and so forth. So when it comes to the sports leagues out there that should be embracing the medical use of marijuana, the NFL should be leading the pack. This is not to say there's not pain and injury in basketball or baseball, but no other sport, save perhaps mixed martial arts, has such a focus on pain and pain management on a week-to-week basis. I'd say more so than mixed martial arts because those guys get some time off between fights. The NFL, however, does not allow its players to use marijuana, even medicinally, despite the fact that medical marijuana is legal in 20 states now, and 8 of those states have NFL teams. And of course, in 2 states, Washington and Colorado, we have the Seattle Seahawks and Denver Broncos, where all marijuana use is legal. It doesn't even have to be medical use. But with respect to the players, it would be so easy for any NFL player in any of these states to get a medical marijuana card. just their occupation alone and the amount of pain they have to deal with would qualify under the chronic pain condition in most of the medical marijuana states. But despite this, there seems to be no plan with the NFL's players union, with the NFL themselves, to address this disparity, to not allow players to use medical marijuana. And this is stunning to be coming from ESPN, which is so financially intertwined with the NFL that this can't help but be seen as kind of a nudge by ESPN to tell the NFL to get with it. The piece in ESPN, the magazine, goes on to talk about how marijuana is a legitimate pain reliever, especially for the migraines that can be a byproduct of head trauma. And that, of course, reminds us of the case of Percy Harvin, the player for the Minnesota Vikings, now with the Seattle Seahawks, originally with University of Florida, who was using marijuana to treat his migraine headaches and got suspended on from Florida's team for a while and had some NFL games he had to sit out as well. He still, from time to time, has to sit out games because of his migraine problem, because the NFL will not let him use cannabis to deal with those migraines. The ESPN piece also points out that marijuana is far less dangerous and potentially addictive than OxyContin, and it is immoral to deny players the right to use it. This also reminds us of Brett Favre, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, who famously admitted his addiction to painkillers. The ESPN piece concludes by saying the NFL, if the NFL is serious about making the game both safer and better to play, it should be a leader on a difficult topic to contribute to an honest dialogue and, more important, to make life a little more comfortable for its broken warriors. Now, ESPN is not the only magazine out there that has been focusing on this. The Nation magazine, the left-wing magazine, The Nation, did a full issue dealing with marijuana issues and policy. And in one of them, they talked about the NFL's coming the coming conflict on cannabis is what they referred to it as. And Bob McNair of the Houston Texans said that he doesn't have drug users on his team, but he wouldn't count marijuana as one of those drugs. And there's been reports for years of many, many players who have used marijuana to maintain their pain and just found a way to try to get away with it. The NFL itself, when asked for comment on this, the spokesman for the NFL was contacted by The Nation. His name's Greg Aiello. And he said, quote, and this is what he said to the USA Today after marijuana was legalized in Washington and Colorado. He said, quote, "The NFL's policy is collectively bargained and will continue to apply in the same manner it has for decades. Marijuana remains prohibited under the NFL's substance abuse program. The Colorado and Washington laws will have no impact on the operation of the policy," end quote. Now, the problem with that is he's kind of weaseling out on this. Mike Florio from the ProFootballTalk.com website pointed out that the NFL's policy prohibiting the use of marijuana specifically says the illegal use of marijuana. And therefore, the players in Washington and Colorado shouldn't be getting busted for this by the NFL. Neither should any players in the other medical marijuana states who then go ahead and get their medical recommendations. Of course, my guess is that the NFL is going to consider federal law with respect to whether or not marijuana use is legal or illegal. That's always the loophole these corporations use to try to get out of treating their cannabis using employees with any sort of respect and equality. But the pressure is mounting. The NFL is now hearing from many different agencies here about the need to change this policy. And while I appreciate the ESPN piece highlighting the pain-killing aspect of cannabis, I think it missed a huge opportunity to inform the audience about the neurogenesis properties of cannabinoids. This is the research that we've been talking about for a while now, and I found a website, NFLConcussionLitigation.com. If you're not one who follows the NFL very much, there was a huge controversy about the NFL knowing the deleterious effects of concussion upon its players, hiding how deleterious that was to the players' health, and thereby these players, you know, are you know, walking wounded, man. They lose their minds. They have aggression problems. They often have suicidal thoughts. A lot of this was brought to fore by the sudden and shocking suicide of NFL superstar Junior Seau after one failed attempt, and finally he succeeded. And people are beginning to realize that these concussions that these NFL players are subjected to day after day are beginning to mount and having huge health impacts on these men's lives. And it's not that we expect NFL players to, you know, not get their head hit. I mean, that's part of the game. Where the NFL was lacking is in keeping those players off the field after they had gotten concussions, in minimizing how much damage would occur for these men in the long term by ignoring the short term problem of the concussion. And in that respect, marijuana needs to be embraced by the NFL right now. The newest research that's coming out on the way that marijuana helps to protect brain cells shows us that there should be a volcano vaporizer on the sidelines of every NFL squad for every game. And when a player gets a concussion, they should load him a vapor bag and take him to the locker room. On this website, NFLConcussionLitigation.com, I found a story called "Marijuana's Purported Ability to Speed Brain Recovery May Leave Colleges and Universities Vulnerable." But mostly they're focusing on cannabidiol on this. And from a Fox News story in 2012, the quote came, "Cannabidiol appears to have profound nerve protective and brain enhancing properties." That's on Fox News, folks. They're talking about CBD protecting and enhancing the brain. Clint Werner, the author of Marijuana Gateway to Health, who's been a guest on our show, recently wrote, quote, "Severe head injuries automatically trigger the production of an excessive amount of neurotransmitters called glutamates. When there are too many of these chemicals in the brain, they can initiate a chain reaction of cell degradation and impairment. The cannabinoids, which we find in marijuana, work as effective antioxidants, potentially neutralizing the glutamate activity and stopping the cascade of neuronal damage that can follow," end quote. I hope you understand what that means. This means when a player gets his bell rung on the field, the cannabis he smokes not only helps with the pain, but also helps to stop the brain damage from a concussion. As they interviewed some lawyers from this piece in NFL concussion litigation, they said, quote, "In the case of football, the player is subjected to an increased risk of concussion and associated complications. Arguably, an employer, in this case the NFL, would have to demonstrate a compelling reason for prohibiting access to a personal protective medication. It would be like prohibiting a nuclear plant worker from using potassium iodide, or prohibiting a Peace Corps worker from being vaccinated against dengue fever or other exotic diseases. My God, I'm pretty sure the British Foreign Service drank gin and quinine to prevent malaria. Unless there is science documenting that the dosage of THC subjects the player to an increased risk of injury, prohibiting a player from using marijuana is the same as prohibiting a player from using a helmet." Exceptionally strong words here. And just to wind up this subject, know that the pharmaceutical corporations see the potential in cannabis as an anti-neurotoxic drug here. Plandi Biotechnology is focusing on research. They just announced this on the 9th. Research for neuron disorders, including Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and multiple sclerosis, and injury-related brain diseases like post-concussion syndrome. Their chairman and chief executive officer, Roger Duffield, is promoting their new drugs that they're trying to get into the FDA pipeline to help these players with their concussion problems. It's all right there in front of us, folks. We know the science. We know the medicine of medical marijuana. It's time for us to convince the NFL to allow these players to at least not get suspended for their use of marijuana, if not to promote it. Thank you to ESPN, the magazine. Hey, folks, that's all the time we've got for today. We got one more day live here in Miami, Florida, and then we'll be back on Friday with a new edition of the Russ Belville Show, as well as the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Stay tuned tonight for Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. I'm Radical Russ. Till next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. shirley.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.